Thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. He is faithful that promised. It's good to be here today. And you know, I enjoy worshiping the Lord because he's worthy of all the praise that we can possibly give him and more than that. Thank the Lord. We are in the book of Revelation today. We're finishing up the entire book, the Lord willing. We're on the 22nd chapter. That's the last one. We've been studying in this book for probably 7 or 8 months. I didn't really keep track. Has it been close to a year now? All right. That's a long time for one book, but then again, we like to be thorough, don't we? Praise God. You know, we could study it over again sometime and it would be new. Praise God. Well, let's start out with prayer because we wouldn't want to attempt to go into this sacred book without the help of the Holy Ghost. We couldn't understand it unless he would open our ears and open our minds and hearts and understanding. So let's pray for wisdom. Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer thanking you for your goodness, for your mercy, for your grace, for the power of the Holy Ghost that puts the devil to flight and all things evil are under subjection, O Lord. And we take the authority and the power of your holy name and of your precious blood and the authority and the power of your word, and we bind every devil and every wicked force, every evil spirit, principality, power, throne, dominion, force of darkness. We bind and break the power of all of these in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray today that your word would have free course, that you would open our understanding, that you would give us wisdom, that you would help us to have ears to hear, so that we could perceive these things that you have for us, and to know in fact that these are the last days, that your coming is at hand, that this world is waiting now and looking to a major upheaval and to destruction. But, O Lord, your people are safe and preserved in the power of your name. I pray, O God, that you would guide and direct us and help us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, here we are, ready to go into the scripture with the understanding that the Lord is coming soon and this world is about to be destroyed. Does that sound unusual to you? It shouldn't if you've been listening to me for a while. I believe the Lord is coming again. I believe that this world is slated for destruction. Thank God for it, because I don't want to live here forever. Amen. You might say, what do you mean? Don't you want us to just kind of make it over again? That's what the environmentalists are trying to do. That's what the New Agers are trying to do. That's what the Freemasons are trying to do. And all this big bunch of people, with all their various ideologies, they're all trying for the same thing. We will make it better. We will overthrow the evil. We'll set it up. No, you won't. God's going to do it. Amen. He's going to burn this one up, because the Apostle Peter said, we look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Today is Earth Day, as far as the world is concerned. I think it's Heaven Day, as far as I'm concerned. We're going to be talking about heaven. This earth, we know what's going to happen to the world. The world's condemned already. The Bible says that. The world is condemned already. It will be destroyed. So says the Word of God. And if you want verses, we got plenty of them, and I'll get into that before long. But this is Earth Day, 1990. A day when they say we're going to become aware and conscious of all the pollution. We're going to correct all these things and think about all this. And what it is, let me just tell you this so you know. What's behind that is the Luciferian religion. Because their ultimate purpose is to make a new world by the year 2000. A world that they will absolutely control. A world where all people, well, they want to destroy all Christianity. They want that completely wiped out. But they want to have their elitist ruling class, and then everyone else would be serfs and slaves under them. We see this very system forming before our eyes right now. And they're hoping to reach their goal and obtain their objective by the year 2000. But I've got news for you. There is one who is in heaven who controls all things. He's interrupted their plans before. He can do it again. God is in control. And the reason people think that he isn't is because most people don't serve him. Most people don't live for him. Most people give him lip service. Most people show up at a meeting once in a while. but they really don't live for God 7 days a week. They don't walk in the spirit of holiness. They don't listen to His word. Let's face it, it just doesn't happen. There are a few. There is a remnant. God has a people who still love Him and will still obey Him. But the majority of the world is disillusioned because they see all this other stuff and they fail to see what the Word of God says. All right? This is quite a day. It's also Lenin's birthday. Not by coincidence. That was planned that way. Earth Day and Lenin's birthday. That goes together like a hand in a glove, doesn't it? Also the birthday of St. Francis of Assisi, the Catholic nature lover. You might say the saint, the patron saint or god of nature. Right? Do you think that's just by accident too? No, no. You know, he's always showing with these birds and doves flying around his head. Do you ever see those pictures of him? And people are falling for this. They're gobbling this phony thing, hook, line, and sinker, saying, we're going to fix up the earth. We're going to preserve it. And what did Jesus say? When you see all these things begin to come to pass, then lift up your heads. He said, look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Don't go around picking up styrofoam. Lift your hands to God. See? We're going to fix it all up by driving electric cars and using cloth bags to get our groceries in. I don't believe it. Let me tell you, the same ones that are behind the polluting, the industrial giants, are the same ones saying, oh, we need ecology. And there is a dialectic here. There is a hypocrisy here that is greater than anything that's ever existed, except among the Pharisees. And, of course, they're the ones still running it. I said the Pharisees are still running it. Because the Pharisees own the banks, and the Pharisees own, oh, by the way, Hollywood, all Hollywood, 100% of Hollywood is New Age. All of it. No exceptions. It's all New Age. And what I mean by New Age is their plan to put together a perfect world under their god, Lucifer, and make no mistake about it, they are very, very religious people. They're more dedicated than most professing Christians. They put themselves out. They give of their time. They give of their resources. They do everything they can to further their cause of bringing their god of the white light, as they call him, their god Lucifer, into this world to put him on the throne of leadership in this world. Well, I'll tell you something. I got news for them. There is a kingdom of God right now. I said there is a kingdom of God right now. There is a King of Kings and Lord of Lords on the throne now. And of His kingdom there shall be no end. And Daniel 2:44 tells us that once His kingdom was set up, that it would never end. And it's been set up. We live in it. You see, you've got to be a spiritually minded people. If you take everything just by what your eyes perceive, and what your ears hear, and what you can feel around you, and you don't perceive anything spiritually, you will end up confused. But if you perceive things spiritually, which is really a gift of God, you'll understand we live in a kingdom that this world doesn't see. And those involved in Luciferian witchcraft know that we're here. They know the battle that's going on. God help us to realize we are fighting spiritual battles. Come on. We are fighting spiritual battles. You know, I'll tell you the wonderful thing about this. I'll get in Revelation in a minute. Wonderful thing about this is we will be forced into action by the very things that are happening around us. Do you ever notice it's hard sometimes to find time to pray? Well, nobody's going to admit to that. But did you ever notice that it's hard to find time to pray? You will, I guarantee it. Wait till things start to get real rough. You'll find time to pray. And when you do, God will hear you and He'll work miracles for you. And He would have done it all the time, but you didn't pray. Right? And there are people that fail to realize the importance. I'm not talking about a membership in church now. We don't believe in that. But there are people who fail to realize the importance of regular attendance with people who will worship God together. And to get all of the Word of God that they can, they fail to see the importance of that. Well, they will. You know, it's hard to tell people what they've missed. It doesn't seem to register. But I wouldn't want to miss one time this Word of God is being preached. I wouldn't want to miss it. I'm just going to hit on this a little bit. See, I'm getting real bold and nasty in my old age. I used to be real tactful, but I'm not anymore. I used to be worried about people getting mad at me if I bear down too much, but I don't care anymore. I might end up with a clock and two people in here, but I'm going to tell you the truth. And I can do without the clock. But anyway, let me tell you this. When we have a meeting here, if a person is not working, we have one on Thursday nights. In case you didn't know it, everybody, we have church here Thursday night, 7 o'clock. And unless you're sick, and by the way, if you're sick, call me and I'll come over and pray for you. There's been all this talk about doctors and things. I don't want doubt to prevail. We can talk about doctors so much that our faith fails us. I still believe that God heals. I've seen him do it. I've seen him work miracles. I've seen people in their last breaths ready to die, and God raised them up, and within a week they were home and working. I've seen the equipment in the emergency rooms. I've seen the equipment in the intensive care units instantly register and change at the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've seen it. I believe in divine healing. And the only reason I'm mentioning this is because we can get so entrenched in doubt to where we think we need the medical profession. We need God. If you find yourself going to a doctor, you better pray real hard for that doctor and say, Lord, don't let any devils use him. Give him skill. Help him. He's going to need it. If he's going to work on this body and this temple that you have made and you have created, and I'm going there because I don't see any alternative, then, Lord, would you help that doctor? But don't trust him. Don't believe him. You see? I'm not telling you don't go to a doctor. I'm saying you better pray for that guy, because without the Lord, he can do nothing. God can use him. But you ever notice the conflicting reports? You ever notice everything kills you? Everything causes cancer. Everything from gumdrops to bacon. You name it. It all causes cancer. You can't breathe anymore because air will cause it. No, I know they have seeded a lot of pollutants and carcinogens and a lot of things trying to get us to disobey God's laws and trying to get us to... They've done all kinds of things and have put those things amongst us. I know that. Follow the instructions of God's word. Believe him. Put your trust in him, and he'll keep you. He said, I'll put none of these diseases upon you that I put upon Egypt. You might say, well, I don't know, I've had a few. Then you sinned. Now, I could preach, I'm planning this within the next couple of weeks, I'm going to preach on the spiritual immune system. The spiritual immune system. We have a God who said, I'll keep you from these diseases. You might say, but Pastor, you've been sick a few times. Yeah, I have, but I'll tell you, I have discovered something. When I am at fault, now I'm not talking about living in some gross sin. I'm saying when there's something I didn't do right or failed to do or failed to pray like I should have because I've been so bogged down, oh yes, it'll hit you. If you do everything according to God's word, he said, I will put none of these diseases upon you. Take it or leave it. I didn't say it. God did. The spiritual immune system. One of the quickest ways to destroy your spiritual immune system is stop listening to the word of God. Did you know that there are some people that won't come here at certain times or any more than they have to because they can't stand what I say? I know that. But I'm like Jeremiah in the dunghill down there in the dungeon, hanging by my shoulders. And the king hollers down and says, you going to change your message? Jeremiah says, no, thus saith the Lord. It's what God said. They had him hanging up to his neck in manure, telling him, you're going to stay there until you change your preaching. He wouldn't change it. How could he? It wasn't his to change. It came from God. But I'll tell you something. You may not like what I say, but I'm going to say it anyway. And you might not come back, but I'm going to say it anyway. I don't care anymore. I'm not trying to be nasty. It just turns out that way. I'm just trying to give it to you straight. We must live for God. Okay, let me throw this one at you. If you can't get to church, if you can't make it to a service, you might feel sick or you might, whatever. Some people work. They're called into work. They have to work. That's understandable. I fully understand that. But there are some people who just sit down in a chair and turn the television on or do something else. And I'm telling you, if you can't get here, don't get into any entertainment. Have enough decency of the spirit to say, there's a service going on. I would love to be there. I can't be there. There's no way I can get there. I will give this time to God. I will read my Bible for those 2 hours while I know they're over there worshiping and I know they're praying for me. I'll give this time to God. Don't give it to Walt Disney. Don't give it to MGM. Give it to God. Don't use it to relax and amuse yourself. You're going to break yourself down. Then you wonder why you pray and don't get an answer. The Bible says God will answer your prayers when you do those things that are pleasing in His sight. All right? I'm supposed to be preaching in Revelation today. Anyway, I never know what's going to happen, and you don't. But whatever is necessary. So I'm just saying, everything is soon going to fall apart in this world. It is already. I don't want to get into the economics again. Sometimes I think I should because money hits home with people. But I'll tell you this, it's collapsing. Inflation is climbing. The national debt is unbelievable. Unbelievable. There is no recovery. There's no hope for recovery. Things are going to get rough, whether you want to think so or not. And people are running around like they're on their last fling, and maybe they are. And they're out there playing their lottery, and they're out there entertaining themselves as if the world's just going to go on and on forever. Satan has people so distracted away from God's word that when you preach it, it sounds strange to them. They want to hear this sicky, sweet, God doesn't care, everything's all right. It's not all right. And everything may not be all right in your life. Some people are thinking, boy, I like him better when he's just talking to me because he doesn't get into all this stuff. Then he's a nice guy, now he's a creep. I don't care. This is the real me, by the way. This is what I'm really like. This is what I think about all the time. Okay? Now, maybe we better get started. But I want to tell you, with everything falling apart around you, you remember what I said. You mark it down when things start to happen. You're going to say, yeah, I guess that preacher was right. But are you going to have the strength in that day? You better start building up your muscles now. Spiritually. See what I'm saying? Get ready now. Don't wait and say, well, yeah, when everything starts to go, why then I'll start. No, you won't. Because God said he would. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ said he'd come in an hour when you think not. We are to watch and we are to pray and we're to do it now. It's the old saying goes, you say it, but you won't do it. Do it now. Amen. You can tell I'm not mad. I'm just happy in the Lord, but I'm going to bear down on these things because they're vital. We've got so much witchcraft going on 45 miles south of here, we better be praying. I don't know what's going to happen. I said it's full of witchcraft down there, and it spills over here. It's all around us. Did you know that Madison, Wisconsin is one of the world headquarters, one of the two or three world headquarters for the New Age movement? Did you know that? Extremely wicked. Full of witchcraft. You don't believe it, I got enough proof to sink a battleship. And there are battles going on. We are fighting principalities, powers, forces of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. We're fighting today. We better learn how to fight. All right. Revelation 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now this sure is in contrast to the world we live in. These environmentalists are saying, oh, let's clean up the river. Hey, I'm going to a clean river. They're never going to clean these up. He says that, now this is a scene of heaven. This is what we're looking forward to. Now heaven isn't just, let me let you understand something here. Heaven is not just a cloud you float around on playing a harp. And you sprout wings, right? You're going to spend eternity up there strumming a harp, flapping your wings. No, that's Roman Catholic. That's where that came from. We are going to return to a condition such as it was in the Garden of Eden, and in fact, even better. The Apostle Peter said, we look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. We have a number of verses. The Bible is replete with verses, especially in Isaiah, many other places. We have verses about the new world the Lord will create, where nothing will hurt nor destroy. No more devil, you see? No more wickedness. What a world that's going to be, just think. No Senate, no Congress. There goes 90% of your trouble right there. No president. There's the other 10%. No Supreme Court, no police stations, no Infernal Revenue Service. I said Infernal Revenue Service. That was correct, and that's what it is. There won't be any sheriff's department. There won't be any hospitals. There won't be any doctors. There won't be any exploitation of people. No universities, thank God. No scientists. You just look at a lot of things that will not be there, and you can understand why there won't be any problems. All the things that cause problems in the world, you may say, but you're talking about agencies that help people. Do you ever think about it? They live on problems. They thrive on problems. When you go to the doctor, that doctor's glad to see that you're sick because he's going to make money. If people weren't sick, he wouldn't make a nickel. They ought to do like they do in China. He's paid only as long as he keeps you healthy. Wouldn't that be a steed of a different hue? Huh? No pay if you get sick. Boy, then they'd pull the junk food out of the waiting rooms there, wouldn't they, in the, what do they call them, cafeterias and stuff? Then it'd be all changed, wouldn't it? But anyway, you look at all the wickedness and all the things. These agencies need the problems. Do you ever notice how this world is thriving and living on each other's problems? The NAACP needs the Ku Klux Klan. Why else would they have to exist? The Klan needs the NAACP, right? The left wing needs the right wing, so they have something to spout about. And the right wing needs the left wing, so they have something to spout about. Do you know why? Let me just throw this in real quickly. You know why the conspirators failed about 50 years ago? They almost took over the world. You know why they failed? Because there were no real strong lefts or rights to exploit people. No lefts, no rights. Oh, there were little fringe groups, but not enough. Have you noticed now how this whole world is forming into left wing and right wing, and it's a very straight line? There are these ultra-conservatives that get on the radio and just hammer away, and there are these liberals that get on the radio and hammer away the other way. And they're drawing people to either side, and since the ones at the top control both sides, they don't care which way you go. I'm not going to be exploited by any of them. Girl came around to the door yesterday and wanted us to sign a petition to save the rainforests. I don't care if they cut them down or let them grow. I'm just looking for I'm not here to be concerned with that. You see, you get people filled with the Holy Ghost living for God, they won't cut down the rainforests. There's your answer, but they don't want that one. And the ones who don't want the rainforest cut down desperately need those who are cutting it down, so they've got a cause. I'm telling you, they really work that way. Anyway, I'm going to a place that the Lord is making, that the Lord is creating, where it says there is a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now, I'm going to read down a few verses here, and then I'm going to come back and comment on these things. Let's go down through verse 5. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. I'd rather have that there than the mark of the beast, let me tell you. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Now let's try and get the full impact of those verses if we possibly can. The theme of this last chapter is life. The world ended in the second death. We talked about the end of the world. Everything's going to burn up. What's left? When the lake of fire is filled, when the death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, the Bible tells us about that. When all the wicked things are cast away and destroyed and damnation of the wicked are complete, what's left? Everything. Everything. Because the Bible tells us that even as the second death swallowed up all wickedness, now we have the opposite of that. We have life. The theme of this entire last chapter is life. The water of life, tree of life, book of life. And this is more real to me than what I see around me in this world. It seems unreal to the natural man. Hard to comprehend that there could be a world with no problems, no troubles, no pain, no sickness, no death, no fear, no torment, no injustice. How could such a thing be? Well, this is precisely why the Lord casts away all things that are wicked. You see, this river of life fulfills many, many scriptures if you look back in the Old Testament. Let's go back for a moment to Psalm 36. I'm going to have you turn a few pages here for a little while. The 36th Psalm. And two verses particularly, the 8th and the 9th verse. Psalm 36, 8 and 9. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. There's that river. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. It's talking about what's going to happen in heaven. When David wrote this psalm, I don't know that he understood it all, but he felt it in the spirit, and the words came to him. For all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And long ago, David knew there was such a place, and he would be there. And this is what he was telling about here. And if he could see it back in the time when he lived, God help us to be able to see it now and to look forward to it with great expectation. That's why I don't have time for Earth Day. I'm concerned about Heaven Day. Amen. Let's look at another portion here. Ezekiel 47. Oh, this is a real popular portion of Scripture. One of the most misinterpreted portions in the whole Bible. So we ought to have a great time with it. Ezekiel 47, 1 through 12. Now, there are those that seem to think that this is going to be just an ideal thing because they can do all the fishing they want. People are going to go to heaven with their fly rods, casting rods, tackle box, and nets. They're going to catch all kinds of fish. I have heard that taught. You talk about Looney Tunes. But they believe it. Let's look at this and see if you can get the spiritual implication, the metaphor, the word picture, the figurative language, and watch what is happening here, because I'm going to tell you this river is not, this river we're going to be talking about in Ezekiel is not an H2O water type river. This river is the going forth of God's word, the power of the gospel, as it does its work, proceeding from the temple of God. Understand this. The temple of God. Where did the gospel originate at the day of Pentecost? Where were they? The Bible says they were in an upper room, and of course a lot of people like to put them off in this little house somewhere, and they're in this upper room. They were in the temple. The Bible tells us at the end of the book of Luke, they were in the temple, continually worshiping and praising God when the Holy Ghost came down. You know what the New Agers say? The New Agers try to say that those apostles were New Agers, that they were spiritualists, and that that was the greatest seance that was ever performed because they summoned down the Spirit of God. That's what they say. See how the devil tries to counterfeit things? Hey, that had nothing whatever to do with a seance. That abominable teaching is going to be destroyed. You would be surprised how many people fall for that kind of stuff. Years ago, up in Clintonville, which is my hometown, they were having seances in the basement of the United Methodist Church. I said they were having seances. Because of the fact that many of these ministers today, let's face it, they sold themselves out. Many of them are Freemasons. The youth group of Freemasonry, the Demolé, were there. I talked to one young boy who came and he said he was all shook up. I was in high school at the time. He was a classmate. He was a member of the Demolé, which is named after Jacques Demolé, a Frenchman. That's the boys' youth group of Freemasonry. He said he had been down to that Methodist church. In fact, he was a member there. But he had been in the basement there having a seance, and he said he heard, this is exactly what he told me, he said, I am so scared. This other kid who was always a leader type, big, tough guy, he was so scared. He said, I am so scared. He said, we were just having a seance. And he said, I heard people screaming and crying and wailing, and he said, I saw flames leaping. He said, it was terrible. I said, what were you doing? He said, we're having a seance. That's the kind of stuff they're messing around with. You see, that's New Age. They want to tell you, oh, it's clean the environment up. It's peace. It's love. When the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars, then peace will guide the planets and love will fill the stars. Fifth dimension. Right? The dawning of the age of Aquarius. This is their religion. It's not just some little thing, some little ideology. It's a religion. It's Luciferianism. It is devil worship. Anyway, I know because I was part of it. I said I was a part of it, so I know. But the Bible tells us that on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came down. God gave it. Nobody summoned it down. They were endued with power from on high. And where did that gospel message go forth from? From the temple. As a mighty river, it began to flow, just as the horsemen began to ride. Remember? It originated, the point of origin was at the temple. What did Jesus say? He said that they were not to depart from Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. Don't try it without the power. You're fighting devils. You're fighting spiritual battles. You need the power of God.
You can't live for God without the power of the Spirit. It's impossible. Now, let's look at what Ezekiel had to say about this river, which I believe is the gospel. The power of the Word of God through the Spirit unto salvation. Ezekiel 47, the first verse. We're going to read the first 12 verses here. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. That's a good direction for them to flow, because that's where the evil is. Come on. You know what I mean by that, don't you? In the Bible, east always refers to evil. Remember? When the wise men came to find Jesus, which way did they travel? They came from the west, from the east, they had to go west, didn't they, to find him? They had to go west. Remember Abraham as he traveled? The Bible says he pitched his tent between Hai on the east and Bethel on the west. Hai means garbage or refuse dump, which was on the east. Bethel means the house of God, and where was it? In the west. When they built the tabernacle of God in the wilderness, where was the holiest of holies placed? Where was the holiest of all? In the extreme west. When they built the temple in Jerusalem, where was the sanctuary, the holiest of all? Where was that? In the extreme west. Here you have the gospel going forth and literally attacking the east, attacking the evil. Just as Jesus Christ said when he spoke to Peter and said, I give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven. He said, whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Meaning, if you look at the grammar of the verse in Matthew chapter 16, it tells you that it's the church that's attacking. The gates of hell can't withstand what the church comes forth with. They cannot resist the gospel effectively. What we have cannot be stopped. You know, some of these people try to stand up and stop it, and all they do is further it. There is no wisdom, nor counsel, nor understanding against the Lord. They can't stop it. They know they can't stop it. That's why they hate us so much. That's why they want us out of the way. But we're in the way, and we're going to stay in the way until that trumpet sounds. And God's going to burn this place up. He's going to translate us to a new world. I'm not talking about some secret rapture doctrine. That's heresy. I want you to understand that. I don't believe in a secret rapture doctrine. When this world's on fire, the Lord's going to take us to a new heavens and a new earth. He's not going to take us up to some 7-year dinner. We're going to watch everybody else going through all this drink blood and all this kind of, come on. We've been through all that. That's why we studied Revelation. But when that trumpet sounds, that's it. It's over. Finished. Done. Oh, I'll tell you, I'm excited. Every time they come out with a new satellite or a new weapon, I get excited. Because I know that they're not up there trying to get those awful Russians. Come on. Gorbachev can't even handle Lithuania. All the Soviet Union couldn't beat the Boy Scouts. Never could. All these nations are gathering together all this firepower because they're going to try and stop Jesus Christ from coming back. And I'll tell you where its point of origin is. In New York, United Nations building. The kings of the earth are gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Do you know what is to the immediate north of that United Nations building? It's a little body of water there swelling in the river as it flows there, called Hell's Gate. It's called Hell's Gate. You know what the address of the United Nations building is? The official address? 666 United Nations Boulevard, Babylon, New York. That's the address. 666 United Nations Boulevard, Babylon, New York. I don't know the zip code. It's probably 66666. I don't know what it is. They probably got their own special one. And they're making all these weapons, and they've got all this firepower. Of course, the land was donated by the philanthropic liberal John D. Rockefeller. He donated the land for the building. Wasn't that sweet of him? The man who on his tombstone has for an epitaph, God damned God. I don't want any of his money. Let me just show you something, and I can't
go past this. I started something here. I get so many irons in the fire, I can't finish them sometimes. But let's turn over to the Psalms for just a moment. We'll come back to Ezekiel. Psalm 2, second Psalm. I want to read to you about the United Nations meeting. You didn't know that was in the Bible, did you? Here it is, a UN meeting. Oh, did you ever notice how the UN is behind all this stuff? They got UNICEF and Earth Day and all this new age. It's all UN, United Nations. The organization that was established to ensure permanent peace. And we've had 156 major wars since they were founded. An organization that has its charter and its constitution is identical with that of the Soviet Union. Word for word. And the only two senators that voted against the acceptance of that UN package, the only two senators who voted against it were the two that bothered to read it. How you like them apples? Well, we're talking about the big apple now. Okay? Here's a UN meeting. Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage? I'm going to write this out and send it to them. Did you know that your meetings are described in the Word of God? Here it is. I'm going to do it. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying. Now see, anointed in Hebrew is Messiah. Anointed in Greek is Christ. So we know what they're talking about here. Let us break their bands asunder. Uh-huh. Going to break their bands asunder, huh? And cast away their cords from us. What are they saying? Something's been tying us up. I know what it is. God's people have been tying them up. God's people have been holding them back. God's people have been in the way of them bringing their plan to fruition and completion. Thank God we're going to keep tying them up. You know what we mean by tying them up? We're binding them in Jesus' name. That's something to do on a Thursday night if you can't make it to church. Spend 2 hours binding the powers of darkness. Watch your life change. Watch your children straighten out. Watch everything get better. If you can't be here in church, then do that. I guarantee you the next week you'll be here. Okay? Think about it. Here's the Lord's reaction. They want to cast off all the confinement. He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. Do you know that God laughs? He looks down at NASA, and they're getting that little thing ready. Remember that one a few years back? Just millions and hundreds of millions of dollars. Bang! Just like fireworks. Now some people say, oh, you're terrible, Pastor. You're terrible. You're not patriotic. That's right, I'm not patriotic. Not to this mess. Bible says we are ambassadors for Christ. I feel sorry for the people that exploded in that thing. That teacher didn't know what was going on. But NASA knew it was going to happen. I listened to that 2 days before they had to scrub the thing a couple times, I believe, at least once. I believe twice. Now, remember them saying that they were out there, there's some valve stuck, and they were out there working on it with a hacksaw. Come on, you got a $250 million aircraft, and you're out there sawing on it with a hacksaw? I told people in advance, I said, they're going to blow that thing up. I had the radio on. Oh, terrible, terrible, terrible. It blew up. I just, yeah. Sounds about right. You know why? Because they didn't want anybody else, any civilians. There was a real push going on. We want civilians to go up. So let's send scientists up. Let's send teachers up. All kinds of people wanted to go up. Even John Denver wants to go. I say send him. But first work on it with a hacksaw. He's a New Ager, you know. Let him go. He's one guy I think planet Earth will survive without. But anyway, they didn't want just anybody up there because they're doing things up there. They've got satellites up there, communication satellites, weapon satellites, Star Wars, right? They got all kinds of things, not to mention the United States Air Force atomic-powered UFOs. I don't think anybody can doubt the existence of those things. Too many people have seen them. I won't get into that in detail, but they've got them. I said they've got flying saucers. They've had them for years. They're not little green men from Mars. They're atomic-powered, using gyroscopic energy. I've got a report sitting on my desk now, about 60 pages long, sent to me by a man who used to work for the Air Force. in intelligence. He said, I just thought I'd send you this little paper. Anyway, there's too much evidence. They've had atomic power. They've had gyroscopic power. They've had anti-gravity devices for a long time. Nikola Tesla discovered them. They confiscated all of his things after he died. They took everything, all of his notes, all of his records. He's the man who discovered alternating current. He's the inventor of the radio, the inventor of the television. They attribute it to other things. Inventor of the telephone. Other people took credit for all these things, but he did all that. He also discovered that type of energy. Well, there's a lot to talk about, isn't there? Now they're going to be selling you electric cars because gas pollutes. GM has come out with an electric car that sells for $20,000. It'll be out in 2 years. Runs on 32 batteries. Those 32 batteries charge up in 10 seconds. You drive 120 miles. You got to recharge. But you got to replace all 32 batteries every 20,000 miles at an expense of about $1,500. But you see, that gasoline that you're using, that pollutes. Terrible thing, right? Well, where are we in this world? They're gathering together against the Lord. Bible says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. God knows what he's doing. You see, we read in Revelation chapter 19, remember, who they're gathering together against? The Bible tells us all the armies of the world, it's Revelation 19:19, that all the armies of the world and all the forces and powers of the world are gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. To make war with him that sitteth on the white horse, who is faithful and true. That's why they're making all these weapons. They're going to try and zap our Lord with a laser. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. I mean, the pride of these people, the audacity, the ego. Why, that's like a mosquito floating down the Mississippi River on a toothpick yelling, open the drawbridge, open the drawbridge. Right? Oh, it's big time stuff. We've got lasers and we have masers. Right? A maser is microwave. It's an acronym. A maser is microwave amplification by the stimulated emission of radiation. Laser is light amplification by the stimulated emission of radiation. Laser, L-A-S-E-R, with a period after each letter. It's an acronym. They've had them for a long time. They had microwave ovens 20 years before you had one. See, they use it for all their purposes first, and then they sell it to you. Open it to the general public. I got news for you. They may try to fight the Lord. They could have UFOs and lasers and masers and particle beams, whatever, anti-gravity devices, force fields. They have those too. Those Israelis over there. When the Arabs were attacking them and the tanks were closing in on the Israeli state. Notice I didn't call it Israel because it's not. But on the Israeli state, they were coming in there with the tanks, and all of a sudden all the tanks quit. Everything shut off. Nothing had run. Dead. Wouldn't even turn over. Batteries are dead. Everything neutralized. All electricity neutralized. Of course, what did Jerry Falwell and the fundamentalists over here have to say about that? Oh, a miracle of God! Angels came down and protected the Israelis. Almost choke. No, there was a little apostate Jew over there that flipped a switch. Come on. And call me racist if they want to. I don't think it's racism at all. I'm just telling you the truth here. Flip a little switch and turn on a force field. They've had these for a long time. They couldn't understand. It wasn't in the papers either, not the major papers, but Denver, Colorado at one point, the whole city shut down. Elevators shut off, cars wouldn't run, batteries wouldn't work, watches stopped. About 15 years ago, NORAD was testing a little device they had called a force field. Years ago, De Gaulle was so mad at the United States. He and Khrushchev had one thing in common. They pounded their shoes on the table. By the way, they carried a third shoe. They didn't take one off their foot. They carried one in the attaché case for pounding purposes. Did you know that? That's a fact. Khrushchev would say, we will bury you. And De Gaulle was getting all, you know, bothered and upset. He says, we are as strong as the United States. I can't use a French accent. Wouldn't want to. Those people talk like they got marbles in their mouth. But anyway, we're going to defy the mighty United States. So they sent some of their Delta Wing Mirage fighters over Rota, R-O-T-A, Rota, secret base down there in the near the Iberian Peninsula of Spain. So we're going to go over there, we're going to get reconnaissance pictures, we're going to fly in there and take pictures, and we're going to show them to the United States so they can see how great we are. So they come in with their planes, and they're flying in over Rota, and all of a sudden they hear a voice in French, "Break away. This is your last warning. Break away." They figure, well, we'll go in, went in full tilt, go down and get the pictures. All of a sudden everything shut off. All the instruments went dead. Engines went out. Planes quit. Nothing operated. They were hit by absolutely nothing. All of them at once. Pilots ejected, bailed out, you know, parachuted down, they were rescued. That was it. European newspapers carried it for months. French airplanes hit by force field. You try to find one United States newspaper ever carried that story. Why? They don't want you to know they've got force fields and flying saucers and all kinds of secret weapons. They're planning to use those on the Lord. And he's going to knock them out with one word. Praise God. Great is going to be the fall of it. Instead of submitting to God, they want to rise up in their own strength and seize upon the inheritance. Remember how Jesus told that story? Here is the heir, let us kill him, and we'll seize upon the inheritance. We'll take over the world. You might say, but they're kind of stupid. Don't they know they're going to die? They won't live forever. They believe they will, because they believe they will be reincarnated. They are the ascended masters, you see. They are reincarnated always into something better and something better until they reach a state of nirvana. Another lie from the devil. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die. They don't die and they come back and die and come back and die and come back. Once, and it's over. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. The judgment. But they think they come back, and of course they believe the Christians are so stupid, they'll come back as a frog or a horse or a pig or something, because, you know, they'll come back as a low life form. Sure, the animal lover, right? Environmentalism. See, that's why you wonder where all this animal rights stuff comes from. Oh, animals have rights! Don't eat any meat, don't kill anything, animals have all these rights. You know where that comes from? Eastern religion. You see? George Harrison comes along, "My sweet Lord, Hare Krishna," you know, and brings all this stuff in, all Eastern religions and all these young people oogling and ogling over all this stuff, over his sweet Lord, and they're accepting all the Eastern religions, and Islam comes in, and the Muslims and all this, they bring in all that paganism and heathenism, and then they wonder why the Arabs and the people from India and all these and the Japanese have come in and taken over the economy. If the people of this country want their gods, God said in Jeremiah, then they're going to also get everything else with it. Those people are going to take over. Have they done it? Nissan, Mitsubishi, Sony, Toshiba. Walk through the stores. Look at the car lots. People wanted their gods. They wanted their religions. They had their disciples and their apostles, the Beatles, the other groups. And now it's gone beyond that. It's outright Satanism. Ozzy Osbourne biting a bat's head off, blood squirting all over, live bat, bites the head right off in front of the audience. It'd take a devil to make a human being do something like that. The suicide solution. There's a song. The suicide solution. Then they wonder why these young people are killing themselves? Then they go into their philosophy class at the university and come out just airheaded because they don't know if they exist. I don't even know if I'm here. I don't know if you're here. I don't know anything anymore. And they're supposed to go to the university to learn it all and give them a degree, and they come out saying, I don't know anything. They give you a dumb look. I talk to a girl. I work at the university at Oshkosh. I'm there every day, 5 days a week anyway. Talking to a young girl, she said, oh, I'm a philosophy major. Oh, I got a hold of one. I said, what year are you in? I'm a sophomore. Oh, I said, oh, a sophomore. That means wise fool. Did you know that? Sopho means wise. More means a moron. Sophomore, that's where the word came from. It means wise or educated fool. Anyway, I said, how about existentialism? Do you believe in existentialism? Oh, yeah, I can't prove I'm here. I said, you mean you're standing there, and I'm talking to you, and you're talking to me, but you can't prove that you really exist, so I probably don't either. See? I said, I'll tell you what, I'd like to come up behind your professor. I told her this. So I'd like to come up behind your professor when he doesn't know I'm coming. I'd like to put my best sneakers on and take a big long hat pin and come up behind him and ram him in the gluteus maximus. And if he wasn't thinking about me, that means big muscle. That's your posterior. I told her that. And I said, I guarantee you, he'll jump and it'll blow your whole theory. And there goes your major. Then you have to go into something respectable. Oh, we have great times. Yeah, if nobody's around to hear it. I mean, they actually spend class time doing that. Parents pay thousands of dollars to send their kids to school, and they sit there like a wart on a pickle in the class with it, huh? And the teacher, the professor is saying, now, if a tree falls down in the forest and nobody's around to hear it, did it make a noise? And he said, well, of course. Well, how do you know nobody was around to hear it? You want me to take care of that one for you? Before you can answer that question, you have to define noise. See? They don't want you to define words. They want you to get caught up in the logic or illogic. They want you to get caught up in what they're saying without defining the words. You have to define noise. What is noise? Is noise noise when it's detected by the human ear, or is noise something generated by the passing of an object through the air? Once you determine what you're interpreting noise to be, you can tell if you heard it or not, or if it makes a noise, rather. You see? What came first, the chicken or the egg? There's another one. You see that? What came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, any num-num knows it takes two chickens to get an egg, right? Okay, well, it does. So you look at all this stuff that goes, they are literally brainwashing. They're brain laundries out there. And then by means of the communication, the mass communications media, they're getting all of this information right into people's heads, right in their homes. Well, I could go on with this for a long time. There's a lot to say. I haven't done this for a while. Anyway, they're going to try and stop the Lord. They will fail. Let's go back and look at this river. Praise God. Got 18 minutes here to finish this up. These benches are being padded, by the way. There are only about, I think, three finished so far. Aren't they nice? Most of you are sitting back, so you want to get away from the spray of the gospel here. And say, and from now on, anybody sitting in the back row is going to get a visit, see? You might say, well, that's good. We've been wanting you to do that for a long time. But no, I know the small building. You don't have a lot of choices. But this is nice. They're eventually all going to be padded so you can sit longer and I'll preach longer. Anyway, in Ezekiel 47, let's go back and look at this river for a moment. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under, from the right side of the house, at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate, by the way that looketh eastward. Behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Now this is figurative language. All right? I'm going to prove that shortly. Understand something here. This is being measured. Water's coming out from the temple. What did Jesus say about that water? He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this spake he of the Spirit. This is spiritual water. That's why it's healing water. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. Getting deeper and deeper. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. So here you have an invincible, irresistible flood of waters, the gospel going forth like a flood. And didn't it? Didn't they turn the world upside down? Come on. Didn't all of Asia hear the word of God at the Apostle Paul's mouth? Oh, yes. This is a gospel river that could not be stopped. They couldn't build a dam to stop it. Come on. There's no way you could stop this. It kept getting ever deeper. That's the way it is with your knowledge of the Lord, too. Deeper and deeper and deeper. As a river, like the prophet Isaiah had said a long time ago, that the knowledge of the Lord would fill all the earth as the waters cover the sea. You see? Clearly not just H2O with fish in it. Although there are fish in this gospel river. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. Right? Let's read on, see what it says. Oh, by the way, let me throw this in before I forget. You'll notice that it's being measured with cubits. If you ever... Right. Of course, the cubit is from... I'm getting a little help back here. I always appreciate that. You know what you're doing? I thought you were showing me what a cubit was. Okay, well, that's fine. A cubit was measured from the tip of the longest finger to the elbow. And so Don was going like this, and I thought he was showing me, hey, tell him that, you know? So, but anyway, see, that was the... there was the common type of a cubit, and that wasn't really a standardized cubit. It depended on who did the measuring. Then there was the royal cubit. The royal cubit was different because it was standardized. But there was another secret type of a cubit, and there's a reason why I'm telling you this. A secret one called the sacred cubit. Now, the sacred cubit was used in all the pagan temples. When they built a pagan temple, they used a special unit of measure that nobody else could figure out, so they could not decipher the symbology of it. All right? Sacred, not that it was sacred to God, but the pagan and heathen priests called it sacred. This is what Napoleon Bonaparte used. He was a big Freemason, you know. Lodge of the Grand Orient. This is what he used when he developed the metric system. Did you know it was Napoleon who developed the metric system? The system of tens? What did he do? He measured the distance from the North Pole to the equator, divided it by 1 million, and 1/1,000,000th of that distance is a meter. That's how I came up with a metric system. The metric system is based on the sacred cubit. Interesting, huh? And they're trying to put that in the United States. They want that everywhere so we can all be regulated by the sacred cubit, which was used in all the heathen and pagan temples. Kind of adds up, doesn't it? I don't like the metric system. I like inches and feet and yards, and I can understand those. Do you ever try to convert some of this stuff over? You notice all the nations totally controlled by the Trilateral Commission that have been totally exploited, they're all in the metric system. And they're in process of doing that here, but they're finding resistance they didn't count on. They try to teach it in the schools, it just doesn't catch on. I think that's wonderful. Anyway, they got metric wrenches in the stores, nobody buys them. Praise God. But here in Ezekiel, we see this is a river that none could stop. A river of Christianity, a river of God's Spirit, a river of the Spirit of God manifested through His people. See what else it says. I believe I read verse 5. Verse 6 says, And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Almost sounds like Revelation 22, doesn't it? And he said unto me, These waters issue out toward the east country. The east country. Going to attack the sin. Going to overflow. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And go down into the desert. And go into the sea. Remember that crazy song they used to have years ago, Horse with No Name? Yeah. Interpret that sometime. Just think about it. It's all in jargon. All right. Been to the desert and a horse with no name. It was good to get out of the rain. In the desert, let's see, because there ain't no one for to give you no pain. Talking about spirits. Talking about wicked spirits, familiar spirits, devils, because they want to get away from the rain or the water of God's Spirit. But anyway, well, sometime we'll go through that. If I do that now, we won't get any farther. It says, And go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish. What did Jesus say? Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. What happens when the gospel comes in? Changes lives. It raises people up. I'm talking about the real, true gospel now. Not all this misinterpreted, mixed up stuff. It works. It heals. It changes lives. And it shall come to pass that the fishers, we know who they are, shall stand upon it from Engedi, even unto Eneglaim, and there shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. You'll notice that from all the different nations. Remember what God told Abraham? Remember what he said? In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Father of nations, right? That's the meaning of the word Abraham, you know. Father of multitudes, actually, is the literal meaning of it. But the miry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. See, there's a differentiation here. And there are some awful places in this world that are just going to stay that way. I'm not talking about geographically. You can look at religions that way. You can look at any place of spiritual captivity, of Babylonian influence and control. In Catholicism, denominationalism, Judaism, did you know that the Hebrew people, did you know that they never practiced Judaism? You knew that, didn't you? You want to put an ism on it, it was Mosesism, following the laws of Moses. The true Hebrew people never practiced. Judaism is witchcraft. Judaism is Kabbalah. Judaism is the Talmud. So is there a Judeo-Christian ethic? That sounds like a clever blend, doesn't it? That's more clever blend than Maxwell House. All right? Verse 12. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary. And the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. Isn't that interesting? This is the power of God manifested through his gospel. This is the result of the preaching of the gospel. The result of it. Let's go back to Revelation 22. And it looks like I bit off more than I could chew again here time-wise. Because I was going to finish this today, but it's just not going to happen. Which means we'll continue it next time, the Lord willing. So we read in Ezekiel about a great river. Now let's, well, before we can go back to Revelation, we have to stop over at Zechariah. Isn't this good for us, turning pages like that? We can find all these books quickly. Zechariah 14. I can see the handwriting on the wall, so to speak. This is as far as we're going to get. Zechariah 14, the first 12 verses, and we'll have to continue Revelation 22 with the sixth verse next time. That's fine with me. Praise God. Zechariah 14 says, Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azal. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come and all the saints with thee. Notice that. All the saints of God. What is a saint now? Well, a Catholic says a saint is somebody who's been canonized, officially recognized by the church and made into a special little god. No, a saint is a living Christian. Not some strange, mysterious thing that you pray to that walks around with a hood like a puff of smoke. A saint, if you are not a saint when you're alive, you're never going to be one after you're dead. A saint is a living, active, serving God, Bible-believing, praying Christian. That's a saint. Praise God. So we've got the saints and we've got the ain'ts. Most churches have some of each. and other possibilities. But what you have here, if you look at the Word of God, we have to understand something. God's people, in this battle that they're fighting, near the end of the world, are going to see a closing in roundabout of the camp of the saints. Oh, by the way, did you know Babylon is scheduled to be destroyed? Rather quickly, by the way. Remember how we studied about that? Where is Babylon? Where is it? Is Babylon... Now, there are only two places in the world that can really be called Babylon geographically. Spiritually, Babylon is Catholicism, all of her daughters, and all the wicked and pagan religions combined under the umbrella of Parsaism, I suppose you could say, the dualism. But geographically, there are only two places. One is over in Iraq, Mesopotamian Valley. The other, New York. Those are the only two Babylons there are. New York. Now, the Bible says that the merchants and the ships and so forth and those that trade at sea will stand afar off and weep and wail and howl because Babylon has fallen. Is that geographically possible over in Iraq? But it is in New York Harbor. Did you know there's a massive earthquake fault running right through where the UN is built and right through that whole area? The World Trade Center is there. And New York, by the way, the words New York equals 666. On the Kabbalistic 6 code, A is 6, B is 12, C is 18, right on through the alphabet. New York equals 666. So does witchcraft. So does Santa Claus. I haven't tried the Easter Bunny yet. I got to run that one through and see what happens. But I'm telling you, this whole thing can fall. But where are God's people? God's people are where he told them to be. They're throughout the world in little remnants. There aren't many in one place necessarily. But they're around. And where they are, there is the city of God. Come on. That pile of rocks over there in what they want to call the Holy Land is not God's city. That land is not God's land specifically. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, yes. But that is not the kingdom of God. That is a God-forsaken piece of real estate. And I mean that in the truest sense of those words. It is a God-forsaken piece of real estate. Jesus Christ said, your house is left unto you desolate. It used to be a land flowing with milk and honey until the apostasy set in, until the wickedness and the filth and the degradation and all those things came in, and all the Babylonian doctrines came in like a flood, and God forsook that land. You look at it today, it's desert. They got the kibbutz farms over there where they try to irrigate and things, but it is a desert. Nobody ever tells you what a kibbutz farm is. It's a communistic farm with slave labor. That's what it is. I said it is a God-forsaken land. God has a spiritual city that they're all attacking. Everybody's trying to come in. They want to wipe us out. They want to destroy us. I got news for you. When the Lord comes back, he's going to split this thing wide open. He's going to rain fire. I want to read the rest of this to show you. I'll probably come back to this. I want to at least read it and make a few brief comments. I'll probably pick up right here next time to explain it in more detail. But let's just finish reading this portion. Verse 6 says, and it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark. But it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night. But it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And that's not talking about daylight savings time. That was an invention of Benjamin Franklin, the famous or infamous member of the Hellfire Society, Freemason, Rosicrucian, Luciferian, who came up with the idea, I use that word on purpose because idea means the goddess within, inspiration, idea means goddess, idea means goddess within. Of course, the heathen believed that when they got an inspiration, it was because the door of their mind momentarily opened and they got a peek at the goddess, the mother of heaven, who inspired them, and that's why they got their thought. That's where the word idea comes from. But Ben Franklin got his idea because he figured that since Beltane, May 1st, is the birthday of his god, Lucifer, the sun god, of course, October 31st, Samhain is the opposition of that, that in honor of his god rising from the underworld, which brings forth spring and the trees all blossom, it's because they say Lucifer rises from the underworld on the 1st of May, May Day, birthday of the Illuminati, birthday of communism, that because this happens, they would welcome him by extending the daylight for 1 hour.
or moving it up, moving everything ahead. Spring ahead and fall back. And as he enters into the lower parts of the world, and the male priest takes over instead of the priestess, women are always more important in witchcraft than men are. Women are the true high priestesses. The men are subordinate to the women in witchcraft. The man rules the dark months, October through April, and the priestess rules from May, the beginning of May, Beltane, until Samhain. But anyway, this is how daylight savings time came forth. Of course, old Ben said, well, we just like to work late. But if you look at his religion, and you look at what the ancients have done, this was all done for a reason. So that's daylight savings time. But that's not what this is talking about at all. This is talking about a complete change in the earth in a spiritual sense. All right? It says, at the evening time it shall be light, and it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. By the way, did you know that there are two seasons in the Bible? Read your Bible all the way through. You don't read about a spring, summer, fall, winter. You read about a summer and a winter. That's it. Of course, we have the four seasons. Like that rock group. But anyway, we have the four seasons. You know why? Because it fits into the pattern of the four quadrants of the zodiac, the occult. That's why we got the four seasons. That's why we have a week that starts out with the day of the sun and follows with the day of the moon, Sunday, moon day, and right on down the line. Each one named after a god or goddess or sign of the zodiac. Same thing with the months. It's all around us. It's permeated throughout all of our society and everything that we live within. It's all through here. Okay? Just stay true to God, that's all. In summer and in winter shall it be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. All the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place, from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananiel unto the king's wine presses. You might say, boy, you know, if the earth is going to be burned up and he's going to make a new one, how come there's such specific detail here about all these locations and so forth? Because he is explaining to a people who lived in the present world, knew the things around them. He was using their terminology, explaining the condition of the new earth. You see? That it's going to be wonderful. If you study the conditions of the world that then was and compare it to the new earth with the revision of conditions, you would understand what this would have meant to those people. He's talking here about a perfect world. And men shall dwell in it. And there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. And this, watch this, here's how God's going to destroy the mess we're living in right now. You think about this one. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Now, who's Jerusalem? It's the church. How do we know that? Hebrews chapter 12 will tell you that Jerusalem is the church. Do you have to see it or do you remember it? I'll refer back to it next week, but you read it. It's Hebrews chapter 12. That we are, as the church, we are Jerusalem. People who live across the United States, if they're in the true church, they're Jerusalem as well. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. In other words, their flesh will literally melt away off their skeletons, off their skeletal system, I should say. Melting flesh, eyes, tongue dissolving right in their heads. Did you know that we already have the technology, the type of weaponry that will dissolve flesh?